With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Aussie Rugby Show in podcast form. If you're new to the setup, you can stay on top of and be a part of what's happening with the show simply by following Rugby Pass and the Aussie Rugby Show on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Enjoy.
Great to have you here for another episode of the Aussie Rugby Show brought to you by Extra Hop. Stops breaches 84% faster. I'm Louise Ransom, joined as always by Drew, Hoilsey, Sean. Guys, what
just address us as the winners.
Winners.
I say stop the Bledisloe, please. Take that win from the weekend and we're champions forever. Give us the cup.
We won a Bledisloe.
Forget about it. It's ours now. How good were they?
The boys were good.
They were very good.
This week, we're in the city, Hyde Park House. Lovely spot.
Teed up by you, Drew, through your good friend Warren Livingston. I love this place. Yeah, it's a great bar. The rooftop here, Slims.
They let you in, did they? Like?
It's amazing, especially at twilight. You get a little bit of sun drifting down behind Centre Point Tower. Restaurant upstairs, amazing as well. Slims.
Tell them the city we live in.
Recently featured on Australia Instagram account as one of the best top 10 rooftop bars in the country.
Being kicked out of here?
No, when you know the owner.
That helps.
Yeah, exactly.
Safety. Okay, what got you over the weekend, Hoilsey?
Oh, a lot got us, I think. Yeah. It was a great weekend in sport. I'm going to go with James Slipper, playing his 100th test. Been pretty well documented, the challenges he had. I thought it was nice and fitting that he played his 100th back up at Suncorp, where he's from. But even the moment at the end of the game, that was probably the highlight of it. I believe the All Blacks were on a really rushed bus trip to get to the airport to get out that day. So the post-dressing shed, a lot of people are saying, why didn't happen in the sheds? Sam Kane went out of his way. You know, he's probably just done media. He's probably got stitched up.
Yeah, to each other. They had a fight
before, and it just showed the class that rugby can provide. And, I think he's the 13th Wallaby to play 100 tests. Excellent. Yeah,
huge achievement. Look, I know we're going to deep dive into what happened over the weekend. So what got me was lots of celery juice and juice cleanse after getting a lot of heat from people about James Corden and the like last week. But anyway, I moved on. Also, I caught up with a good mate of mine, Ryan Birch, who's the head coach of the Sydney Uni second grade. Stefano Hunt led them around. They won the grand final. And just one of the most well-executed first phase tries straight through. Like, I've got the overlay. Have a look at this try slicing through. So, Raddy, well done, mate. And I told you I'd shout him out. So, you boys better buy me a beer next time.
Lou, what got you?
Your son, your youngest son, Huey.
Oh, yes.
Also known as Ralph.
Yeah. Huey's his name. Ralph Wiggins his nickname.
Yeah. I'm just going to call him Ralph. Yeah.
He's answering to Ralph now.
He does some silly things.
He does lots of silly things. Mm. His mum was away. My wife went to Byron Bay for the weekend. I had all four kids. Shout out to all the dads out there that were taxi drivers on the weekend. And he put a basket on his head, which he does most nights. And I got
and
the camera
fell
out
over.
And fell over. That's pretty standard. But, he's got a good heart.
But it's one of the highlights of your social media.
I get a lot of positive reaction out of Ralph.
He does these silly things like a few times a week.
Yeah, and there's some really good thing on Instagram of Ralph Wiggum falling over, and pretty much that's what he's
doing.
He's over two now, so he's got to stop falling over. So we're starting to get a little bit concerned.
Maybe it's your reaction, the family's reaction every time he does something.
Maybe. Anyway.
Mine is the opposite of that. Someone not falling over. The Bermuda Tens have just come to a close, the World Tens. Collins Injera, who we know from the Seventh Circuit, top the point scoring over there and celebrated it in style, which I've never seen this done before, guys. He can dance. We know he can dance, but he can dance with a full skew on his head.
Oh, my.
Check this out. Ooh. Dancing a little bit of Pharrell Williams up to all night to this song. Can you guys do that? Can we set up a challenge at the end of the show?
That's right.
At the end of the show where you have a dip. You have a dip at doing the victory bit on top of the
head. Just on the Bermuda 10. So we see Sevens week tournaments being played over the weekend. That's been a two or three week process.
Couple of COVID issues.
Yeah, no, but it's been a long tournament. But what they've done, I really think there's something in that, Sean. It's similar to what we spoke about in the Sevens.
Hubbing.
But they're privately owned teams. They're from all around the world, and some of the best players that aren't allowed to play rugby at the moment have found their way to Bermuda. I'd be watching that space if I was in world rugby.
Way to celebrate.
Bledisloe Rocks and Diamonds with a win. We're going to start with shiny things, the Diamonds this week. Drew, you want to go first?
Yeah, I don't think anyone's shone as bright as Marika Korobetti from the first minute to the last play, shutting down McKenzie. The guy just keeps getting better. I mean, he's a Johnny Hill's medalist already, but arguably he's going better than he was last year.
It's almost superhuman watching what he does and his work rate. And he's a great example to young kids of how you can work off your wing but still not miss your key roles, because he's everywhere, but he's always where he needs to be at the right time.
I enjoyed your tweet.
That he's going to kill COVID? I've got faith in him.
With his left pinky. I mean, it would even take all Marika, who's that strong. Left pinky, COVID, pan.
It is a bit heartbreaking as a Tigers fan to know that he started his career at the West Tigers, same as Tunkelly Naivoro. But anyway, I agree,
even
Marika.
Even still, he got man of the match, voted man of the match in that game, but even got a yellow card. Like, you're doing it right.
Yes.
If you can get a yellow card and then still get man of the match.
It's not until you get ground level you appreciate actually how destructive he is. Like, you see it on TV, but when you actually see him up close and feel, it almost emanates out off players that he knocks over with or without the ball, how powerful he is unbelievable.
We often used to pick a granite 15.
Yeah,
you just said the word.
Captain coach.
Jerry Collins always used to lead the way, and Jerry still is the captain of my granite 15, but he's in there without a doubt.
Oh, absolutely.
You mentioned yellow card. I'm going with, as a Diamond, Lachie Swinton. He got a red he got a red card, and I feel for him, but when he got that red card, I was actually pleased because the game was then back in the balance.
Even kill,
I just thought he introduced himself to international rugby, exactly what we need. We haven't had a number six with that type of physicality. I'm going to go back as far as Matty Cobain or Owen Finnegan. It's a position I played. He's physically, defensively more in particular. There's parts of his attack that he needs to continually work on, but he has got pure intimidation factor and he puts on big shots.
I mean, people would questioning or at least saying they're concerned for the aggression that he brings to the game, making sure he needs to sort of keep that under control. I don't think that red card had anything to do with aggression. I want him to come with the same amount of aggression and intensity in any other game he has going forward. That was just a bit, you know, his accuracy was slightly too high and the execution of his tackle was poor. It wasn't because of aggression.
Yeah.
So just like for Lockie, just keep going at it. Well, like, I text him saying, mate, loved your work, just keep climbing in. Like, next time you get a chance against the Argies, just keep climbing in, brush that red card off. And I won't say exactly the words that he said in reply, but basically he texts in similar fashion to the way he plays.
Yeah. Well, you saw his reaction when he came off. Yeah. He was so mad. Yeah. But he didn't sort of shrink into himself. He was just outwardly still really aggro. I'm glad that you got that. I pinged a message off of my own Saturday night after a couple of our sponsor's products to Matty Phillip, congratulating him on being my diamond winner for
this
week.
Go Manly. Manly boy.
Go Manly. Yep. So he had a situation the other night where Matt Phillip and Reece Hodge both played Manly Colts together alongside Lolokai Fekete. I was there with a guy who coached them as kids on the way through. He was so proud. Jono was so proud to see them rise up on that occasion. And there was that key moment, maybe 60 minutes in, coming away from their own line. Matty goes up, brings it down, and Hodgie off one step goes bang.
Yeah.
Sends it down the field. I think we scored not long after that. So Matty Phillip, huge.
Yeah, I mean, he's been huge this entire sort of Bledisloe season and going into this Tri Nations. Just from a guy who debuted four games ago, like, he looks like he's been around for a long time.
Ready made. So
we watched really him, funnily enough, he got a test about 2 years ago. But remember, game a couple of years ago against the Tars in Melbourne, he killed it. He was so good. Yeah. And, you know, at the start of the year, we're all talking about who we want to bring in. Do we bring in Will Skelton, Adam Coleman, Roy Arnold? Well, there's value in actually backing who you got here, because it's given Matt Phillip a chance to be a regular Wallaby. He'll go over to France. I think it's a one-season deal.
He wanted to come back.
And sure enough, let's get him back here for that World Cup. It's been a really good year for Matt Phillip.
Well, he said he was going overseas because he wanted to better his game to then come back and push for that Wallaby spot. It's kind of bizarre that he's already pushing for that and got that now.
What about you, Lou? What's your diamond?
My diamond is Tom Wright scoring on Jabu. I mean, brilliant start for the Wallabies, but brilliant start for your Wallaby career. It was beautiful. Brumbies players, Tom Banks and Tom Wright sort of teaming up there to get everything started. Not bad at all.
2 minutes into the game, into your debut test match.
And we always talk about debutants getting a good touch early, having positive touches so you can feel comfortable and you know, like you belong out there. And this is donning it over. Oh,
that's fantastic. Just his first touch, like every touch after that. His ability to, you know, look as though he's going to kick dummy, beat one, set up two. Yeah. We need to have more of that. We need to have more unpredictability in our back three, because he's a natural runner of the ball. Like, everyone says, we got him from league. He's a rugby junior. Like, he's from Clovelly Eagles. He's been there since since he was 6 years old. He went to Joey's, so he's a rugby boy, and he's just starting to prove why everyone was
after
him.
The other thing I really liked that he did was he ducked into that tackled off of Tonga Vasi and got him red carded, so well done Tom Wright for that as well.
Well, that actually brings us, I guess, into the rocks. Red cards were an issue over the weekend, but what was your rock, Drew?
Well, I mean, let's talk about like the red cards. I mean, a lot of people were pretty unhappy about it. The dialogue and the narrative on the socials, everyone was up in arms about it. Look, for me, I'm okay with it. I think that
you're okay with it being red.
Being red, yeah. Because the way that they explained it, there are the rules. The way he explained it, there's no way you can argue in terms of the interpretation of it by Nick Berry. The TMO presented the case, and looking at it by letter of the law, he got it right. Mm. Do I think it should have been a red where... I think that the rules need to be tinkered a bit, whereby the team gets punished for 10 minutes by having the offender go off the field for 10 minutes. And then after that 10 minutes, a substitute can come on. That player is still out of the game for the rest, but someone else can come on, because I think it was maybe 6 or 7 minutes later when they had their first scrum, a prop had to come on.
Yeah.
And then Akira Iwani on his debut had to go off for the rest of the game. Like, that's not fair on him. It's like, I just think there needs to be a way where you punish the offender, but the team doesn't
And the spectacle
for the rest of the game.
Because it was 22 minutes through. And
exactly,
so you
sometimes determine the outcome of the game. Had Lachie Swinner not got a red card, there would be people sitting there saying that we only won because of that.
I know.
As a Wallaby fan and a Swinton fan, I was actually happy that he got red carded, because the game evened up and you'd never want to beat a side. Last time we beat the All Blacks, we did it against 14 men when Scott Barrett got red carded. Mm. So I've got a really big difference. I see a really big difference with a tackle to the neck and chin with arms and shoulder and everything right, as opposed to an elbow or a shoulder direct to the head. So I think there is a difference in red cards. So to make it easier on the referees, they've got to be able to have a variety in their option. You can't be able to... There's a difference, so there has to be... So the orange card, for example, you're off, someone else comes back on. That is a great idea. My rock for the weekend is the time that the first half took, because of how paranoid the referees are now, because they have to stick to protocol. The first half took over 60 minutes. And we need the game to flow. We need players exhausted, because when players are exhausted, the little men get their chance in the game. That's why rugby is so different from other sports. So we need to let that... There's got to be some sort of time limit on the amount of things they can check. And if it means that someone gets suspended or gets docked points, similar to rugby league and AFL the next week, do it in the follow-up of the game. Don't ruin the spectacle and turn it into NFL.
It's almost like that is classified as foul play, but it's accidental foul play.
Yeah. There's
no intent from either of those guys to try and take the other bloke's head off with his shoulder. Yeah. I mean, that's not
like
what those
me
guys
rucking
are
you
about.
At Rat Park in 2005, that's foul play. I was after you.
Yeah, but that's okay. There's a bit of intent there.
I mean,
there.
The other thing is people are likening our game against rugby league, and they're like, you look at rugby league, that wouldn't even be a penalty. But you know what? Let's see rugby league in 10 years, 20 years' time when there's lawsuits and class actions and all sorts of things, when they're not actually taking the players' best interests, you know, first and foremost.
And Hoops post-game, I really liked what he said. He said, we've got to look at player protection. We've got to look at these guys having really long careers and not allowing these head injuries to happen as often as they might if we don't have these rules in place. And he said, we don't train to tackle high, so we need to go lower. We need to get that right in game.
So Super Rugby Aotearoa this year, they had a red card or whatever it was. 20 minutes, you're off, someone else comes back on. I don't actually know if someone got one, but they had that in play. We might have even tried it here in the NRC, I'm not sure. But they've got to start looking at that, because the World Cup was near ruined in the early rounds because the amount of time taken to get a decision and then the amount of time players...
Yellows and red.
And if you have an in-between card, then maybe the refs don't take as long to make the decision because it's not as,
somebody sitting on the fence, they can do that.
I don't mind that we had a situation where it was reduced rather than 14 on 14. There's more space there. Yeah. It was 14 on 13 for a little bit as well. I don't mind that.
And again, so many people disagree with this, and I half disagree with it, but rugby's getting so hard defensively that you could justify 14 on 14, like dropping a flanker off. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Speaking about it this week, someone said the best thing you could do in rugby is widen the field 5 metres, but we've got to understand...
We'd have to build new stadiums.
Yeah, exactly. But it's easy to drop one off. The point is, that was a really good test match to watch. Mm. And you heard Sam Kane talk about it. They lost their shape. We want teams to lose their shape. We want the game to become a little bit more instinctive and the creative players get benefit rather than the robotic players that just know where to be all day, every day. Mm.
What about the welcome to country? It was a little bit odd. Is that a rock?
Oh, no, that's not. It's a sleep with the tongue. I can't get down on that.
He just obviously said rugby league, but being in a rugby union game. I think the duration from the time where the boys go in from warm-up.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Go in, get ready, get their jerseys on, have their last little chat, walk out, run out, then they have welcome to country, then they have the anthems, then the haka. It's probably a good 15 to 20 minutes before they actually get warm again.
It's perfect.
And they're straight into it. So I think not just welcome to country, I think that 100% needs to be there. It's NAIDOC week this week, like everything, 100% behind that.
Oh, sorry, that definitely needs to be there.
No, I wasn't saying that either. I'm just saying in terms of like some of the dialogue on socials and things like that, but we definitely need it. But I just think in all of that, we need to reduce it as much as we can so that the players can get straight into it still being warm, or give them a chance maybe to
do a couple of drills. Getting four kids in the bath in between that time and kickoff, not that bad.
Here's bar, shower, bed. Have some more finurkin.
For them or me.
Extra Hop play of the week time. Dare say there are a few options from the weekend. Sean, what have you gone with?
Almost too many. You know, if I'm Extra Hop, I'm sitting back watching that game saying, look at my guys go. I'm that excited about how it all played out. But Marika Korobidi can only be one man.
Yeah.
And his last shot.
Is he only one man, though?
Well, no. Matt Phillip put his hand up. Is he one man, though? He plays for about 16 or 17. But his last shot of the game, which was the match-defining moment in many ways.
The last one or the last two?
Oh, good. I'm glad that you doubled up on that, because that's exactly what Extra Hop does. They'll hit you once, they'll hit you twice, put you down. So that is why Marika Korobidi is this week's Extra Hop Player of the Week recipient.
In the 80th minute. We've seen the All Blacks steal games. You know, it was Dunedin a couple of years ago, in the last play of the game. We've seen it so often. We're just hoping it doesn't happen, and then Marika comes to rescue.
Bang.
Shuts down McKenzie. Double effort on Barrett.
And I really like seeing his emotion after it. Like, he knew how important that was. Oh. Yeah.
Imagine him with his shirt off that. He just bombed.
A weekend forecast. The All Blacks have another game this weekend, of course, against Argentina. What are we expecting from that one, guys?
Well, they've had two trial games now, Argentina. They've played against an Australia A type scenario. The first game 2 weeks ago was a little bit close. It might have been like a 22-10 type scoreline, could be wrong, but last weekend was about a 50-10.
I think they had a few more there, internationals, by Matera, Nico Sanchez,
and those
boys came back and played in that one. Probably blew it out a little bit. I'm actually really interested in terms of seeing the All Blacks selection for this game, because I think they got a little ahead of themselves, and perhaps that led to the result we saw on the weekend by resting Coles. They rest Smith, Mwanga, Goodhue. Resting all these players, sometimes you can just give a bit of an indication or a mindset that the coach just expects the win.
Yeah,
and then they go out and play.
They had the position. They're in that luxurious position of being able to give other players a go. So we haven't been able to do it too often.
And as a result, look what happens. We knock them off. So I'm interested to see if they go back to their full strength side against the Argentinians to get themselves back
Argentina
in the winning column.
You love Argentina in the early stages of a rugby championship.
I just think once a year in the last 3 or 4 years since they've joined the rugby champs, they've pushed New Zealand to about the 75th
minute.
They play on such high passion. If conditions are good out at Bankwest this weekend, and they're going to play. You got to understand, like, these guys have been sitting in hotel, they've been in lockdown. Yeah. They're probably not going to have the stamina that the All Blacks would have had. Actually, they're definitely not going to have the stamina, but they're going to have so much attitude and intensity. And they do play an unpredictable style. If they're allowed to get on the front foot and play that traditional game they like to, I'm not saying they're going to win. I actually think the All Blacks will just run them into the ground as the sort of 50th minute comes.
It's super important for the Nico Sanchez of the world to slow the game down for the Argentines. Mm. Play it at their pace, really slow it down so they limit the opportunity to be run down sort of by 60, 70, the 80th minute. So
we've seen Michael Checker involved with the Argentinian coaching side. Yep. Are you expecting to see any sort of Checker style coming into his play?
Well, it's funny, his style of footy and his type of pre-game actually suits their way of motivation and their pump up, because he's emotional and he's passionate, and so I think that'll only add to that. If there's anything, there's probably going to be I think there's probably going to be a 20 minutes where they jump out of the blocks and they're going absolutely berserk, and it's physical, but I almost think that might be to their detriment because they're going to be so pumped up, so physical, that it'll take out of the energy tank late in the game.
I caught up with Mario Ledesma a couple of weeks ago and I asked him what role does Cech have in that squad, and he doesn't have necessarily like a specific role in terms of attack or defence or forwards or whatever it is. It's just to be there to kind of help and mentor, and whether it be players or whether it be the coaches, because Mario said himself, he said we've got quite a young coaching staff. Juan Fernandez, yep. Lobbe, he's now head of the forward, so he's a young guy that can take, I guess, some advice and learn from the experience of having someone like Michael Cech around. And he even said players are starting to really, you know, draw from his experience as well in terms of preparation, the way that they approach the game, all that type of thing. So I don't know if it'll necessarily be what we see in the style that they play, but perhaps the way they approach the game or you know, little things in terms of getting them prepared for the game, whether it be from the coach's point of view or all the players.
Really looking forward to seeing the game at Bankwest as well. Yeah. Last year, in the lead-up to World Cup, we had Australia v Samoa. Numbers were down, but still the atmosphere that came through that stadium were really, like, it was really, really good. I think this weekend could be a ton of fun out there.
It will be a lot of fun, hopefully. They're massively disadvantaged, Argentina. Like, they've played no club footy. They've been in isolation for so long.
Well, I mean, they even had their European guys in isolation for 2 weeks after the other... Well, the rest of their squad had already arrived. So they haven't been able to train together for quite a long time. And Mario also said they had to... I guess, withdraw from one game that was meant to happen against the New South Wales select team, just because they had some soft tissue injuries, which is what we talked about with why South Africa didn't come over, because they just don't have that preparation under their belt. So, I mean, it's setting itself up for one of the great victories if they could come up, like, overcome all this sort of stuff.
So you're saying the Argies will beat the All Blacks?
Look, I didn't say that. We've seen stranger things in 2020. Okay. Trump lost the election.
No, he didn't.
Well,
depends who you ask.
True. We heard that here first. You know what else you heard here first?
What did we hear?
Rugby time for a VB, Sean.
Oh, yes.
Well, tell me all about it.
It could not be any easier, folks. Head to bws.com.au, enter the promo code TARSVB.
Tell them what they win, Lou.
And then on the other side of that, I'll tell them what they win. If they do that, go in the running to win 3 merch packs, thanks to World Rugby Shop, ice boxes, the whole box and dice. Then they just need to take a photo of themselves watching the footy, drinking a VB stubby.
And tag everyone in Victoria Bitter, Aussie Rugby Show, BWS, Rugby Pass, 2 ice boxes, cases of VB, Budgie Smugglers, and that 2K World Rugby kit as well for your rugby club. Huge.
Yeah.
Most creative entry wins.
Get them in.
Showcase it on our last show of the year.
Yeah.
Sort it all out.
Free delivery on the stubbies.
Why would you do it? If you're watching the rugby,
just get a photo. Why wouldn't you? Just don't get too loose and forget to take the photo.
Drink responsibly. Comments corner. This little segment was a lot of fun last week, Sean. Got a lot of reaction
as well.
It was.
Are you okay?
I'm okay. I'm doing okay. Thanks for asking.
Thanks, James.
Look, there was a lot of comments.
Thanks, James.
There was a lot of comments that landed off the back of you being described as James Corden, obviously. You wore the glasses last week.
Yeah.
Some say you look like Alvin from the Chipmunks.
Yeah.
We agree with that.
I didn't mind that one.
But the winner of this one was Aidan Liebenberg, who said Drew went from James Corden to Elton John in a week with those glasses. So you've gone from Corden to Elton John. Would you sing us a little?
Now what am I, Freddie Mercury or something with this slug?
You're raising money for it, though, James, in November.
Well,
you continue to give these people a voice, Sean.
Now, you know what? Now for some love.
Both are great singers, and perhaps in our last episode, I'll punch out a tune.
You can do that. P. O'Connor, my favourite rugby show, Mad Love from New Zealand. There's a lot of love from NZ, which I can't quite compute. T. Salonea, this is a brilliant show. I'm a Kiwi. Find the show very entertaining. Great group of commentators. I don't know that this one that landed was for the right thread or clip. This is from Mary Olivia, who says, I want to give a testimony on how Dr. Gagodo helped me bringing my husband. He left me for no reason and started going out with another woman whom he promised to get married to. I never think I'll be happy again because I love my husband. So go get Dr. Gagodo. Lot to unpack
there. We should look into it.
I hope she's okay.
But that's Mary Olivia, and she says, Dr. Gagodo, get to him.
That's
was,
a good
was
note,
there though. A link to cryptocurrency or anything underneath that? Yeah. Perhaps, maybe?
No, but we can get some real estate in Nigeria if we want it. And lastly, I thought we'd round this out with a little shout-out to the Northern Hemisphere. The James Corden comment about Drew was hilarious. These types of unscripted shows make great laughs and entertainment in this grim UK lockdown. That from Will Messer, 34, to our friends in the Northern Hemisphere. Yeah. And, we feel you.
And to be fair, even without lockdown, it's a grim place to live, so we feel you.
I'm not enforcing that.
You can't go to Melbourne, you can't go to England. Anywhere that locks down, lives.
He's happy to go to LA, though.
Yeah, LA.
Will Messer, you can tee off on this Muppet for next week's Comments Corner.
Big stories of the week. We're going to go with just one because it is huge for rugby in Australia. The broadcast rights deal done and dusted. It's going to be on Channel 9 and Stan, their streaming platform. The key takeaway here, I think, guys, is free-to-air rugby in Australia for the first time in a long time. This is huge for the sport in terms of getting coverage for people that don't pay for sport.
Yeah, one Super Rugby game a week free-to-air on Channel 9, and that works really well with their league coverage because they've got Friday night and Sunday. That's massive, and that's what Raylene Castle started the fight for a long time ago. People have said it for years and years, but the answer was you're just not going to be able to compete financially. So they've got that opportunity now. I also believe club rugby is still on
Rob Park ticked that off.
It's free-to-air, so that's not behind a paywall. The only thing behind a paywall at this stage is the other Super Rugby games. There's still a lot to be worked out, but it is a massive positive news for Australian rugby. And, you know, you're sitting here with four people that have all worked previously for Fox Sports, and we've all got different opinions, and we've all got really passionate opinions on how the game can be developed and grown and shown to the rest of the country. I've been out to places all in my role with the Classic Wallabies of trying to grow and spread the game, and one of the biggest issues was kids didn't know. This is 2015, they didn't know who Kurt LeBeer was, they didn't know who Michael Hooper was, they didn't know who Israel Folau was, because they don't see them on free-to-air. That is the biggest single-handed advantage we can get now over rugby.
And I think the timing's perfect in terms of having a new coach, a new breed of Wallabies come through. I think 10 debutants already this season. So there seems to be like a sort of like a new wave of Wallabies, and to be able to go on to free-to-air and be on something different like Channel 9 just seems like the timing's right for it as well.
I get the impression as well that there is a top-down approach from RA that will lend itself to pushing players, coaches out into the mainstream more so now than maybe in years previous, where everyone's on the same page. Everyone wants to see the game grow and grow and grow. So kids like those ones out in the Central West know the entire Waratahs team or the entire Brumbies side or each and every one of the Reds. So isn't it amazing how things pan out? It's crazy.
I know. And I was talking to Elia Green, the gold medalist, of course, for Australia in the women's sevens, and she had a stint in NRLW just recently, only a 3-week tournament, but we're both ambassadors for Adopt Change, and we were talking at an event a couple of weeks ago, and she said, you know what, I have never had this much reaction from people on social media, in the street, having a chat, just knowing who she was, what she was about, what she was doing, because NRLW was on free-to-air. And she's been playing rugby sevens for so many years, gone to the Olympics, won a gold medal, yet that 3-week stint in NRLW, she said, was huge.
It's really important now on how they sell the game and how they explain the game to the viewer, because one of the challenges rugby has is that it is complex. It isn't easy to explain sitting there with mates, tell me about line-out, what's going on in the scrums, why are they collapsing, why is that a penalty? Like, to be able to show, and I'll give you a good example, at a time at Fox Sports, we were watching a game and there was a league game on, it was during the game, so we're all in the green room, and at halftime, a league player walks off the field and he's made 20 hit-ups and 25 tackles, and David Pocock had a great first 40 and he walked off the field and he had 3 tackles and 6 metres in contact. And one of the guys at Fox, one of the league guys, goes, is that all he's done? I was like, no, he's probably been to 25 rucks and he's managed to steal 3 footies or slow down opposition ball 10 times. So how they then tinker with sending out stats and explaining to the audience, all that stuff becomes so important from now.
What a time, though, off the back of a Bledisloe win, to be able to say, hey, we've got it for the next 3 with a 2-year option. It's a magical
and
time.
Also, what a time to be unemployed and not bound with a contract. So, Channel 9, hit me up.
Aussie Rugby Show mailbag time. Let's dive right into it. Questions on Instagram and Twitter this week. Thanks so much, guys, for sending them all in. First one from Evan Regan, on Instagram. Is it true the Wallabies always went on the tear for the autumn internationals, also known as a spring tour here in Australia?
World Cups, whatever.
Yeah,
Like, anytime.
As soon as we touched down, we used to think it helped with us getting into the time zone.
That was the greatest excuse ever. I just got to stay up for a night.
And then pretty much once breathalyzing came in the morning after it, a recovery after a test.
That's when we started smoking heaps of weed.
No, but it just meant that we went out on a Tuesday night.
Breathalyzed going to training.
Brought in a breath testing protocol.
Which was actually detrimental because we just went, all right, well, we're still going to have that night out, but it's now going to be Tuesday, even closer to a test match because we've got Wednesday off and we can just sit there in our room on Wednesday, be hungover all day, order room service, and you wouldn't even see us.
Yeah, it also became about spring tours often had more numbers on tour. So you often had 30 to sometimes 36 there. Yeah. So you had a squad, and instead of having three or four that weren't playing in the match day squad, there was 10. And early on, coaches, like some of the best coaches, Eddie Jones, was like, you guys have worked hard all week.
Yeah.
You guys go out and have a few beers. It was when the guys that were playing started to get involved and that problem started to happen.
There was also times where to select who was going to be breath tested. Sometimes it would only be five, but if one was positive, the whole team got done. So we would just say, okay, look, these seven numbers, because it'd be a cool mint sort of like gumballs in a gumball machine with everyone's number on it. And if your number was drawn out, you would get breathalyzed, right? And we'd go, okay, there's probably number seven, number 23, number 19, number six, or whatever. If those come out, eat the cool mint, right? Just don't announce that one, just draw another one. Because we just didn't, like, if one guy got done, we all got done. One test after we played Italy in Padova, we all just went out in the last. We'd said, look, one in, all in. Everyone
it's
just go out, have a big one, right? Let's go out there. Next morning, we all would have blown over. And Ben Robinson, his name got drawn out first. He went up. He blew over, and then they went, sorry, we've got no more straws. So Ben was the only one who got tested.
Highly anxious.
Yeah, highly anxxious, and he's like, I don't think Ben played that next test, but unfortunately for Ben, he was the only one that got tested. But there was ways around it. But yeah, to answer that question, we used to, yeah.
Okay. Calvin Riley on Twitter asks, should Hodge claim a position, or is he best used as a utility back on the bench? He says, personally, I'd like to see him play 15. After his performance on the weekend at 10, people were calling it a makeshift sort of 10 option for Reece Hodge. What do you think?
Look, he did himself no harm in playing well the other night. I still don't think he's our long-term number 10 option, but the more he can spend in that jersey, the better it's going to be, because we don't have a hand-up pick-me selection for the 2023 World Cup. We've got a lot of young guys coming through. But Hodge, no, I still don't think he's our out-and-out number 10. I just think he's a versatile...
He played a lot of 10 as a kid.
I know he played a lot of 10 as a kid, Sean. I was in the 16Bs as number 10, but I wasn't number 10.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's a...
He's just not a ball player.
Yeah.
He's not creating, like...
I bought high tops that year and then they move in the back.
But so do you need to be a ball player at a test level if you can kick it 70 metres?
Look at the comparison. Look at Richie and look at Bowden and look at their skill set. And Reece Hodge, I pick him in my side every single week. But he's just fallen into that category. He's versatile, so where he plays is what's going to best suit the team
week. You know, he needs to find what his best position is and just go hard and fast. I want that jersey at Super Rugby level. Don't allow Wessels or whoever else to sit there and bump him around to say, I want 13, and back himself to be the Wallaby 13, or if it's 12, or if it's fullback, or if it's 10, whoever it is, or whatever position it is, but to back it at Super Rugby level so he gets time in the saddle and not just get bumped around. Like, he did a really good job on the weekend, don't get me wrong, but a lot of it was also off Nick White. Mm. They played it really well. They knew what he was good at.
Yeah.
They also knew what his limitations were, and they coached around that. So, like, little things like that chip over the top was a pre-planned thing, and he did it really well. He executed it well. But it's not that instinctive look up, play it off the cuff, so which you get from an out-and-out number 10. So
gotcha.
I thought he did a really good job. I'd like to see him just bank in whatever position he feels most comfortable in, what he wants to back himself in at Super Rugby level, and then back himself then to go into the gold jersey.
Are there some players that like variety in what positions they play, or do people like to generally aim for one position and, as you say, make it their own?
I mean, I think some players would take any jersey over no jersey. So that's where the variety and the versatility is to your benefit. But sometimes it's to your detriment because you don't get to lock down a position all the time, and you're always just a stopgap.
Like, what position was Adam Ashley Cooper? Who cares? Mm. He played 120 tests.
Yeah,
we don't
exactly,
know.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to the next question. You know what? It's a fun one from our friends, the Dublin Doggos.
Worst team in the Northern Hemisphere.
Yes.
I'm proud of it.
We so love junk. And enjoy their interaction a lot. Thank you, guys. What's the best pump-up movie for you all? Don't ask me. You know my movie.
Best pump-up movie.
Yeah, pump-up movie.
Yeah. Oh, could go for days on pop culture. Any Given Sunday is one of the great movies. Yeah. Is that a sporting? Are we talking sporting?
Oh, it wasn't before specific.
Yeah. I don't know. Any Given Sunday is hard to beat.
I like to be in a good mood. I don't need a pump-up. So I think a classic like Annie. I just loved Annie as a kid. It's a feel-good. Don't look at me like that. I could give you word for word.
Could you really?
You always disappoint.
Is that hard not like?
Nah, as a kid I loved Danny apparently. And wearing my sister's clothes.
Was, Mighty Ducks.
Ducks.
Quack, quack, quack.
Quack, the Bash Brother, all
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Woo, woo, Kenny, woo.
You know, we'll give you one. Centre stage, because I cannot dance, was never a dancer.
It's in the Annie category.
Yeah, that's why I felt comfortable once you said Annie to say mine.
Bring It On was good.
Yeah.
Not another team movie.
Well, guys, on that note, that's it for another week. Aussie Rugby Show. Done and dusted.
Note. Get it?
Yeah.
Well done. Guys, thanks so much for watching. As always, hit up our socials. We're everywhere. Also, got a new website, AussieRugbyShow.com. Check it out. See the show on there. See us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Guys, see you next week.
Vamos los Pumas. Thanks, vamos.
We got a website. Is that true?
That's it. Don't forget to subscribe to stay on top of the show with new episodes dropping each week. And remember, if moving pictures are more your thing, you can catch the show at rugbypass.com or via the Aussie Rugby Show on YouTube. Like, follow, subscribe, tell your friends, your uncle, you know the drill. See you next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.